How many of you ladies are glad you came to Bold Venture so far? Now, no, you should find the men's poster. It's further down, like closer to maybe Friday night. Or I just want to mention to you that what's going on here for ladies, we have also a Bold Venture event for men. I've actually been doing the men's events longer than the women's. And we have one coming up in a month, in October 23rd through 25th in Philadelphia. Now, I realize that's a long way from Augusta. But there's actually women here who drove from Philadelphia and New York and flew from New Mexico and drove from Lancaster, Pennsylvania. So it's not impossible. Just depends on how desperate you are. But if you ladies are married or engaged or you have friends who are men that you think maybe need a Holy Ghost overhaul, please recommend to them that they attend Bold Venture. It's a life-changing event. They will find mentors. They will be challenged to live for God. And we're going to have an awesome time. This is actually the church of Alicia Vitorsky and Marina Ankadovic, who are here with us this weekend, and they're hosting that event. So just wanted to let you ladies know about that. Also want you to know that we're flipping the schedule just slightly this afternoon. Don't worry, it's not going to affect anything, but we're just going to switch two things. We're going to have the young women's panel first, and then Nicole is going to come and speak. I want to do this because I want us to hear from these gals before Nicole speaks. This panel is, you know, we heard last night from Shanae that God is working in all the generations, amen, and that he's working in my generation, which is the older generation. We're pregnant with a promise. We've been holding on for a long time, and we're not letting go of the promise. Amen? And then there's this younger generation that's just arising. They may be clueless to what's been happening, but God has marked them for a visitation. But they need mentors. And there's a lot of Naomis in this room who are here because God wants to connect you with a Ruth. And there's some Ruths here who don't have a Naomi in their life yet. Some of them found their Naomi last night, I found out. God was already working that out. But I'm going to ask a group of Ruths to come up here, and we're going to ask them a question. And that question is, what would you like a mentor to do for you? What do you need a mentor to do in your life? So I'm going to sit up here, and I'm going to ask Maria Muzichuk from Jacksonville, Florida, to please come. I want Amanda from Orlando. Amanda is from the Brazilian church. I also want Carolina to come, who is also from the Brazilian church. I want Elizaveta from Lancaster, Pennsylvania. And I want Andrea Ashley from DeLand to come up, please. Y'all can sit in any of these chairs. Actually, Andrea, why don't you get the big chair in the middle? The special chair. Andrea deserves a round of applause because she brought her 9-month-old to Bold Venture. And he's been enjoying the nursery here at Good News Church. Thank you. Okay, so I think I'm going to start with Maria. And I'll probably pass the mic that way. So this is what and this sign says, listen to your daughter. So I want all the Naomis to get your antenna up and listen to the hearts of these girls so we can hear what it is they really want in a mentor.
Well, just like the title of this little get-together, listen to your daughters. One thing is that as mentees, we don't always want like this three-step process or an answer to your problem. Sometimes you just want the person to be there with you. just to embrace you, to walk the road with you, and then slowly you see the change happen in your life. I had a mentor when I was growing up at the age of 15, and really through her, I came to know the Lord. She just took me under her wing, took me places with her, took me to youth conferences, to youth meetings, prayer meetings. And a lot of times she wasn't telling me what to do, even though I was seeking kind of direction. But by just embracing me and being with me, I saw her life. And like I began to change because I saw the love she had for me. So just listen, be there. Kind of like when I think of Job's comforters, you know, the first 7 days, they did the best comforting by not talking, right? But then when they started, not to say that every mentor, you know, is going to give bad advice or anything like that, but a lot of times it's that, like, just listening to the other person, getting to their heart, feeling their pain, getting on their level, that's when the connection really happens. So that's what I see in a great mentor, someone just being there and listening and getting down to your level.
Okay, for me, really, I grew up in a Russian church with the whole Russian culture, and I didn't even hear of the idea of a mentor until like a few years ago. So most of the time, it's like you have to figure it out on your own. And I'm at a place where I feel God's calling on my life, but I'm not sure what to do next, you know? And I feel like there's no one there that, like, can help me with that and even understand it. So, like, yeah, you guys have, like, all this experience, all this wisdom, and, like, we need help. Sometimes we just don't know. We just need that someone else there. So, yeah.
Okay, so where do I start? For me, I think that growing up in a family where there was a lot of single women, I think I took on that responsibility role of pretty much handling everything on your own and not really seeking or reaching out for any help from anybody because, you know, you're a mom, you're a wife, you got it, you should be able to do it, and if you can't, something's wrong. So I think that taking on that mentality is just something that someone of my generation tends to do. And I think that for me, walking around and having 20 bags, carrying them, and one of them's about to fall, and somebody's like, hey, Andrea, let me help you carry those bags. I'm like, no, I got it. I mean, I'm just going 20 more steps, and I think I can carry it all. And, you know, it's like, well, take the help. You know, just take the help. They're not going to hurt you. They're not going to judge you. They're not going to do anything to make you look bad. They just want to help. And I think for my generation, for somebody like me, I need someone to just be like, I'm going to help you, and you're going to take the help, whether you want it or not. You know, I have two boys, and a lot of times, because I tend to be so independent, I never ask for help. I never ask anyone for help. And I think having a mentor in my life that would just kind of like call or even just stop by and just say, hey, I think you might need a little bit of help with those dishes over there, and I'm going to do them. So you go ahead and you sit over there, and this is what I'm doing. And just kind of taking the initiative to just not tell them what to do, but just kind of, you know, overpower them a little bit, I think would help them to kind of relax a little bit and just trust a little bit more, because I think the root of that is trust and, you know, not wanting to look weak. For me, it's just not wanting to look weak. So I think that having that and a mentor would help a lot.
I forgot that I was asking KC Berglund to be on this panel. Originally, I had asked her to facilitate it, but I hadn't given her all the names. That's why I called her up here. She's supposed to be on the panel, but she's gonna go last. Now you can give it to.
I've had a couple different mentors in my life, so I've learned a lot from them, and I know what I like to have in mentors. She's actually taking a picture of me right now. Thanks. Thanks, Pastor. Yeah. I think the most important thing that I look for a mentor is somebody who's really sensitive to the Holy Spirit. I've had mentors in my life, you know, call me, message me. This is what the Lord is saying. I feel like this is in your life, and I just want to pray with you. And that's amazing because you already, you know, you're praying, you have a prayer life yourself, but then there are things that you don't see necessarily because you're so blinded by your circumstances, and you need other people that are mentoring you and praying over your life and actually making that sacrifice, and they're able to walk you through that process. So that's one thing. Another thing I would say is that since I was mentored, since I was, you know, I have a couple of different ones, but since I was mentored since I was really young, it's having somebody that's not gonna, how do I say this? Like, it's not only judging, but have somebody that's gonna be compassionate to what you're saying. Like, let's say I'm 15 years old and I'm struggling with school, or I'm struggling with a boy, or whatever it is. It's not having somebody that's gonna be like, well, that's easy, like, you know, and making you feel less for your problems. Somebody that's gonna listen to everything that you have to say and use their wisdom to say it how it is and not sugarcoating it, but at the same time being sensitive to what you're dealing with, you know? Another thing that I would say is one of my last mentors, she's only about 30 years old, but she's an amazing woman of God. When God stepped out to call her to lead this small group with us, she had a lot of barriers. She had a lot of things that she had to overcome. And for her, it was just getting over herself, getting over the fact that she thought that she wasn't good enough to lead this group, or because she didn't have enough qualities. And that's a lie from the devil. You do have these qualities, and there are so many daughters looking out to be mentored. And you're not going to have all the answers, but sometimes when you're there and you're looking for answers and you're, you know, praying with God, or you're looking for Bible studies, things to study, that's when God actually gives it to you. You have to take that step of faith, and then he's going to enable you to, you know, to be a mentor to other young women. So, yeah.
We're actually right now being mentored by the same woman, and she's just great. Like, as she said, what happened? and really for her, like she said in the beginning, she had a lot of barriers to overcome. But what I felt that I loved about her so much was that she was just so easy to talk to and just available. Like, she just gave her heart out to us. You know, it's a bunch of, I think as a mentor for her, it must have been very intimidating to get in a bunch of, in a group with a bunch of girls who, you know, or like, you know, who are you? Because we had a mentor previous before her. And she was just so available and loving. And she was just so ready to pour out on us and willing to be a part of our lives. And I think that's what I really loved about her. For me, personally, I'm the kind of person, I love to learn, and I love advice. So if I'm going through anything, I need to talk to somebody. I can't just keep it in. And I think for me, having a mentor that is just available and willing is and compassionate to hear what I have to say is the most important thing for me. And also just being honest and being raw, you know, really getting down and dirty and on your knees to pray. And when I'm doing something wrong, you know, I want to know. I don't want you to be nice and sugarcoat it. You know, I want to know because I want to be, you know, a woman of God. And I need a stronger woman of God to lead me. So that's really important for me. I think also your trust and not being judgmental, because sometimes, you know, we may have a mask on in church and, you know, oh, we're happy and we're going, but we're really going through a lot of things that other people may not know about. And if we go to you, it's because we trust that you're not going to judge, and you're going to basically be very sensitive to the Holy Spirit and know what to say at that time. So I think that's what's important to me.
Kind of weird to clap like this. Hey, I have three things. If you're going to mentor somebody, let's see if I remember the three things. I think, first of all, I have to tell you, like, I'm like a mentor's project. Like, I'm not the easiest person to take, or used to be like this, have gotten a lot better. But I used to be a person that terrible to take correction, terrible to, like listen. I like to talk. My small group knows that. And just all of that, but it really helped, in certain mentoring relationships. Lewis and Keisha Heard, they now live in California. My mom even, people seeing where I am and asking questions, because I am like a verbal processor, so I think after I speak, and I hear what I say, and then I say, oh yeah, that's actually what I meant, or that's not what I meant. So asking questions helps a lot, and it makes you come across really well too, and not judgmental. It's kind of hard. Well, how do I not be judgmental, because I know the truth of God? But asking questions really helps. Where are you at right now? What about this? The other thing was blanking. Anyway, I'll just say what kind of the idea. Okay. Number three, you are pretty much being to us the representation of the Holy Spirit. And we have that in us because we're born again, hopefully. But we have that, but we haven't quite unlocked the whole truth of that yet. So in your relationship with us, it helps to kind of tap into, okay, what's the Holy Spirit saying? Like they were saying, sensitive to the Holy Spirit, to be like, I'm Jesus to this girl right now. And I heard somebody say, we see God how we normally see our earthly dad. We see Jesus how we see a friend, I think it was, and then we see the Holy Spirit like a mom. So I really identified with what Margaret said. So you're basically that mothering figure to us and the Holy Spirit, if you can agree. Yeah, it's and it's really helpful, and it does miraculous things, and it actually makes us talk more. So and you want to get that out and help us through that. So thanks.
Okay, so Casey, I'm going to make sure that Nori Menendez in Colombia knows that you said mentoring you is going to be a project. I'll let her know that. Now, one thing I noticed about this panel and is that depending on the culture that you're from can affect how you view mentoring. Andrea mentioned that in her environment, there was a lot of strong single women, maybe even some single moms, who have had a culture of learning to be very independent and do it yourself. Is that what I heard you say? So that's something that we need to be aware of. Certain cultures maybe have that more than others. And if you're finding it's tough to crack the nut with somebody in that situation, if you're trying to mentor, then maybe there's an issue of self-reliance or self-dependence or something cultural that needs to be broken. Also, I heard my two Russian sisters mention that in their environment, mentoring is not really something that was practiced. I wonder if maybe, Maria, you could explain that to us, because we have a lot of Russian girls here, and if you hang around Bowventure, you're going to run into a lot more of them. And there's a lot of Russians in the United States, in case you didn't know. Can you tell? And it's not just Russian culture. It's other. I've run into this in Indian culture and other immigrant cultures, that this is not something that they've ever been taught. Could you maybe give us some insight into why that is?
Well, one of the things that came to me was our parents grew up in a communist environment in Russia, Ukraine. And when they gathered to worship, it was secretive, it was calm, it was quiet. You kind of, you know, kept your faith very private, or else you would get killed or put into jail or, you know, just persecuted. I almost kind of like that, what Andrea said, like you're almost expected to figure it out on your own. Like even in my me before I got married, I didn't really receive any kind of guidance even from my own mother about what to expect in marriage. And thankfully, I'm a bookworm, so I read tons of books about marriage, and, you know, I kind of knew what to expect, but you're almost, it's just this, I don't know what the main thing is, but it could be, you know, just, you're just expected to figure it out on your own, like, keep your faith kind of, you know, private and things like that, so that's what I could think of.
Did you have any other to add to that?
No.
And Brazilians, you guys seem to be really into mentoring in your church. Is that typical in the Portuguese Brazilian culture, or is it just your church? Because Pastor Sylvia is such a great mentor. Do you know?
Do you know, how would you describe
it? I think, I mean, no two churches are the same. I do believe our church recently has gone through like a change where we're understanding, you know, like sonship, like that concept of really having that. That word hadn't been there earlier, but we had gone through it just not knowing what we were doing. But I do believe Brazilians are, I guess we're like a little bit more open, but I do see the whole, sometimes if you're like from a single family kind of place, then yeah, you do things on your own and somebody has to step in and be like, no, I'm going to help you. I'm here for you. So it just, I think it really depends, on the community, the church that you're part of. So.
I think in our Slavic culture, we're a little bit more like almost introverted as a culture, not as vibrant and outgoing as, say, like the Hispanic community. So we almost tend to just, you know, kind of just hover in and, you know, try and deal with it on our own too and not seek out that help that we should. So I think that may be one of the things, because we're more, you know, it may have to do with the whole persecution and communism, but I've even seen that non-believers are, you know, a little more like, you know, kind of reserved, yeah.
And so I want to just encourage everyone here, especially if you are a Naomi and you came to this, you might not have come to this conference praying, Lord, give me someone to mentor. I think maybe since you've been here, you've been hearing that from the Holy Spirit. But why don't you add one more thing to that? And that is, Lord, if you want me to mentor someone from another culture, I'll surrender to that. Because some of us are afraid of other cultures. And we're afraid of something we don't understand. But the truth is that there's a lot of Ruths who are crying out for Naomis, and they don't really care what color skin you are or what your background is. They just want somebody who is a representative of the Holy Spirit. Amen? So let's give these ladies a hand. Thank you.